How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good morning, everyone. Before I get into the message, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers here and watching online. And happy Father's Day to the stepfathers, too, that stepped in to be the father. So happy Father's Day. And after the breakout sessions, we'll have donuts for everyone. So you're welcome to grab one after the breakout sessions. All right. We have the donuts hostage until then. But I'm happy to be here this morning. Just look at the neighbor next to you and say, hey, neighbor. That's your neighbor this morning. We've been blessed to hear from Pastor Matt and Pastor Sam in the last 2 weeks. They kicked us off with Our Mark, His World. It was so good. If you missed it, I encourage you to go back and watch it. Watch both of those messages. They were wonderful. I don't know how I can follow them, but I'm just honored to be here this morning. Pastor Matt kicked us off with the big idea. Jesus teaches his followers to find purpose by being part of the Great Commission. And Pastor Sam followed with a challenge and an invitation for all followers of Jesus to be involved in the harvest of the Lord, bringing healing and hope to others. And something that Pastor Sam mentioned that really stuck out to me was how someone made a mark on him when he was young. And I'm here today because someone marked my life too. And I think we all have those kind of stories. But my childhood pastor, Pastor Roberto, he left a mark on my life as a kid. He took me under his wing, treated me like his own son, looked beyond how difficult I was as a kid and as a youth. I was so hard to deal with, believe me. And he reversed the labels that I wouldn't amount to anything. He spoke the truth of Jesus into my life and saw beyond what others couldn't see that God had a plan for me. He was a huge influence in my life. He showed me compassion. He taught me how to be mission-minded. And I am who I am today because of him. So I want to thank God for Pastor Roberto this morning. Our Mark, His World. This morning, I want to spend a few minutes talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan. I'm sure you have heard this before, the story of the Bible, but I want to share a few scriptures with you. So if we can look at our Bibles and look, Luke chapter 10, starting on verse 25. And you can follow along or you can grab your Bibles or your digital Bibles. And it reads, "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to test, saying, 'Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?' He said, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest — these days it would be a pastor — was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite — and these days it would be someone working full-time in the church — when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." Everybody say compassion. "He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell amongst the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is a story that we all are familiar with, the story of the Good Samaritan. And while I was preparing this message, I did a little bit of research. It wasn't Wikipedia. It was a good source. And I found an interesting survey here. In 1973, a Christian Theological Seminary conducted the Good Samaritan Experiment with participants studying to become religious leaders. So what they did, they split this group of people in two groups. Half of the participants were told to prepare a speech on job opportunities, and the other were told to prepare a speech about the Good Samaritan, which is the story that we just read. The participants were told to travel to a different building to give their speech. And without the participants knowing about it, the researchers had assigned them to one of three groups. Some participants were told that if they left immediately, they would be early. Others were told they would be on time, and the remainder were told they were already late. So along the path to the building, each participant ran into a stranger who had fallen in an alleyway. The stranger coughed and moaned, signaling that they needed help. So here's what they found with that survey. They found that overall 40% of the participants offered some help to the stranger. When the participants believed that they were early to their speech, only 63% of them helped the stranger. The ones that were in a moderate hurry situations, when participants believed they would be on time, 45% of them helped the stranger. And those in a hurried situation, only 10% of those people helped the stranger. Even when people were on their way to give a speech about helping, they were less likely to help if they were in a rush. So that tells me that we live in a hurried world. Now, I couldn't find a recent survey about these statistics. I'm guessing that they were too busy to find one, right? So we have so much going on that we are not creating the space for this important thing called compassion. So I want to talk to you today, give you a three pointers on how we can grow in compassion. Point number one, like Pastor Matt says, point number one, pray for God's heart. We often overvalue knowledge and downplay obedience. Much like the lawyer, the Good Samaritan parable teaches us that knowledge is not enough. We need the right heart. The problem is that we're not good at changing our own hearts. I would argue that in our own, it's impossible. That's why it's important that we start with prayer. God can cultivate in us a heart that beats like his if we let him. So pray for God to change your heart. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another. Be compassionate and humble." Having compassion means to recognize someone else's suffering and take action to help. Like the Samaritan, we can have compassion and move in compassion. Point number two, we have to be willing to stop. We walk by people in need every day. They might not be bloodied or beaten up, but they are still hurting. They need help. They have questions. They feel lost, not seen. They feel empty. They're wrestling with situation. They're going through anxiety, depression, battling with thoughts. The problem is that we don't see them because we're too busy. Stop and look at who's around you. What do they need that you can provide? Mark chapter 6, verse 34 says, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." A few years back in 2005 or 2006, I worked for a telecom company called IDT in New Jersey, and I was working late shift. I was working second shift, and my wife was working first shift, so we were sharing the load with the kids, so I was working late. And around 7 o'clock at night, I needed to go to use the restroom, so I said, let me go use the restroom. So I got up, I walked down the hallway and passed my boss's office. As soon as I passed his office, he yelled my name and said, "William." And I was like, "Yes," I stopped. And it's my boss yelling and screaming my name. So I'm like, I stopped. And he says, "Do you have a minute?" I said, "Sure, I have a minute." And I'm thinking he's going to talk about work. So he says, "I just want to ask you something." I said, "Yeah, go ahead, ask me." He says, "What is the difference between your religion and my religion?" And I'm like, wow, what a question. I thought it would be work related. But he asked me straight up, "What is the difference between your religion and my religion?" So I didn't want to disrespect him. I just explained as much as I could with respect. And I started sharing my life story. I started sharing my faith and my relationship with Jesus. And I did what I could. And he stops me and he says, "See, that's what I'm talking about. I need to know God. I don't know God personally. I wish I had a relationship with him. I want to know more about God. Where I go, I don't get to know him, and I want to know more about him." And I shared my faith, and I invited him to one of our services and one of our Bible studies, if you want to know more how. And I explained to him my walk with Jesus, and he was like, "Thank you so much for answering these questions." And that was the extent of the conversation. But 3 months later, he moves to Florida. He relocates to Florida. And I'm here on my computer working, and I get a pop-up on my computer, and it's called Instant Messenger. Do you know what Instant Messenger? No, you don't know, right? You got to be old school for that. But it's almost like today. You know, it's text messaging. And he texts me, and he says, "William, can I give you a call real quick?" And I said, "Sure, give me a call." He calls right away. And 5 seconds later, the phone rings and he says, "Hey, Brother William." And I'm like, "Oh, Brother William." He never said that before. And I'm like, "Hey, Brother Carlos, how you doing?" He says, "Hey, I just want to talk to you for a minute. I just want to remind you, remember that conversation we had 3 months ago about your faith and my faith? And you were receptive to answer them." I said, "Yes, I remember the conversation." He says, "Well, that conversation never left my heart, my mind. I thought about it for 3 months. And I just want to tell you, I wanted to call you and tell you that I gave my life to Christ. Because you planted a seed in my heart and you stopped and you spoke to me. Now I have Christ in my heart." He says, "But that's not the only thing. My wife and my kids also gave their life to Christ." So planting a seed goes a long way, amen? So I was blessed by that call. And of course, then a few months later or 6 months later, he calls me again and he wants to give me a life update. And he calls me again 6 months later and he tells me, "William, Brother William, how you doing?" Now we're like brothers, you know, we're talking. And he's like, "Listen, I want to give you a life update. I want you to pray for me because I have this calling to go back to my country and preach and go. I feel like I'm called to go back to my country and spread the gospel." And I prayed for him and I said, "Oh, that's wonderful." And now he's in a Bible Institute and he's reading the Bible and he's just learning more about God. And that was a blessing to me because it takes me back to that conversation. And then a year later, he gives me another update. He says, "Pray for me because I'm about to leave to Venezuela, my home country, to preach the gospel and my first missionary trip." So that's, for me, that was, wow, one conversation because I stopped and planted a seed. A whole life changed, not only his, but his family. I was just passing by and I stopped. What would have happened if I didn't stop? He was already battling with thoughts, and the fact that he had intentionally stopped me to ask me meant that this was something he was dealing with, probably for months. So who's your neighbor? It's the one next to you, in the cubicle land at work, the one driving in the truck to your next destination construction site, the one working in your assembly line, the one next to your office, the one walking the dog in the next development, the one sitting with you on the airplane. He was my neighbor at my workplace. He was spiritually half dead, struggling with thoughts, battling with who God was and the desire to know him personally. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." but do this with gentleness and respect. If you are here this morning and have questions about where you are in your faith and you need prayer, we are here to pray for you. God wants to meet you right where you are right now, and we want to help you in that journey. Jesus' very presence in the world is the ultimate act of compassion. We did not deserve his sacrifice, but because of God's great love, we were treated with mercy and are called to live lives of compassion and mercy. Number three, don't hesitate. When we see someone in need, we often come up with all the reasons why we shouldn't help. We don't have the right words, and someone else can help them. We feel like we're not qualified. We're late for an appointment. We have too much to do. Or we say, it's not my business. And listen, I get it. It's challenging. It takes us out of our comfort zone. But don't let those fears keep you from helping those around you. There's more at stake than you likely realize. Instead, when you feel those fears and those excuses are ringing around your head, pray. Ask God for courage and take a step of faith. Proverbs 24, verse 11 and 12 on the Message version. It says, rescue the perishing. Don't hesitate to step in and help. If you say, hey, that's none of my business, will that get you off the hook? Someone is watching you closely. You know, someone not impressed with weak excuses. And that's the Bible. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Okay. But this morning, I really want to finish this message. But before, I want to let you know that to grow in compassion, we have to be selfless. We have to be willing to be inconvenienced. We have our global partners here today, and a lot of them have been inconvenienced. They've been uncomfortable. And sometimes it's great to be uncomfortable because it gets you to a new position. When you feel uncomfortable, it makes you move and get to another level. They have invested their time, their families. They have invested in resources. One of the things that the Great Samaritan did, or the Good Samaritan did, he invested resources. The Bible says that he took him to the inn. He paid for the inn. He used his resources. But we have to be selfless. We have to think about others before we think about ourselves. The Good Samaritan story is a challenge for us to evaluate our lives and see how we are loving our neighbors. Do we love our neighbors as ourselves? The Good Samaritan did just that. May we go and do likewise. Yes. Let us pray. Father, we come into your presence. We thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be alive. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you because you gave your only son, Jesus. Jesus was inconvenienced. He had compassion. He decided to suffer for us so we can feel relief, so we can be safe, so we can be saved. God, let that compassion this morning also affect us, that we can have compassion for others, that we can suffer with those that suffer, that we can move ourselves from our comfort zone and get uncomfortable to have compassion on others. We have been blessed. We have been blessed. Thank you for your sacrifice, because now we are blessed. We are favored. But we need, as a church, we need to be more compassionate. So I pray that compassion can grow on us and that we can share that love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.